Oh, yeah, it's Tech Tuesday. That's what it is. And Election Day. And we are going to be talking to Bridget Carey, CNET Senior Editor. You can find her at CNET.com. Bridget, Bill loves Legos. And were there Legos, Bill, when you were in school?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Legos. You got to play with them in school?
Yeah. They weren't as diverse as they are now. They didn't have licensing like they have now, but there was Legos.
Well, they've gotten even better, Bridget. Now you can make a Lego robot in school.
Yeah, Lego's been making a lot of different types of learned program varieties, some for high schoolers, some for really little kids. We're talking really basic stuff where you can make a robot or a guitar and have sound effects. But the new thing that just came out today was something called Spike Prime, and they're only targeting middle school students with this one. And parents, I don't know if you can buy one because it looks like it's just being targeted to schools. But the whole thing is that they make these curriculums where the student goes to the class and they have these like 30 to 40 minute projects they can do to problem solve, make little robots, learn to program with a Scratch coding language. So it's trying to make it easy for teachers who just want an easy lesson. They don't have to feel like, wow, I have to now make a lesson around Legos. No. They kind of spell it all out for the teacher. Here you go. And they're trying to sell them in schools in these packages like this. And what's interesting to me as someone who kind of watches this space is I've seen several types of these educational toys pivoting to target schools and not so much target the consumer. I can make assumptions as to why, like maybe there's less shelf space without a Toys R Us in town, or maybe they just see a big potential because you have all this talk about how do we get, you know, middle school kids more into programming so when they grow up into the next generation, it's not a field that will, you know, be lacking candidates and also will encourage girls to stick with these fields and not go into something else in high school.
Can I tell you something? If I could build a robot when I went to school, I would be such a tech wizard right now, because that to me would be fun. It's not your typical reading, writing, and arithmetic, and you are learning something that is going to really help you in this day and age.
It kind of blends not just the science and tech and math, but you got that art side as well. So the creative side gets tapped too, which is what I like in a lot of these types of things you're seeing come out now.
So it's possible this is goodwill, Bridget, but also couldn't Lego keep tabs on these kids, keep an eye open for kids that have a certain proclivity to this, and maybe scout them along the way to either work for them or other high-tech companies?
Oh, yeah, you're in the mindset of a lot of things now. Actually, there's this other company called Little Bits. They make a lot of fun little programmable circuits. There's an R2-D2, an Avengers thing, but they have these programs in schools, and Disney just partnered to get more girls involved, and I'm sure part of that contest to get involved and have to be sponsored by Disney has something to do, because it's in California right now, has something to do maybe with like recruiting those students as they get older to work for these companies. Exactly right.
And, you know, putting these Lego Spike Prime in schools, I kind of was irritated with the school because the kids had Mac computers to work on. Yeah. So then all the kids came home and said, yeah, I want a Mac computer. So you got to be careful of that.
Oh, yeah. In school, they had Macs for me, but now a lot of schools have Chromebooks. And yeah, it always influences what your kids want you to buy.
That's absolutely true. All right, what's going on? Speaking of robots, Sony has a robot dog, and there are some problems.
Well, it's not really so much problems, but you've heard me talk about the Aibo robot dog before that Sony makes. It's that $3,000 little robot dog, and it's not for sale or for use in Illinois. And so we've been doing this thing on CNET where we have a lot of stories about facial recognition technology, and the story up right now is about, like, a little more in-depth as to why it's not being able to be used in Illinois and kind of the reasons behind that, and it goes beyond just the dog, obviously. There's a law from 2018 that really regulates what is being used in biometric identifiers and other, you know, ways to read a face. And the long short of it is the law says you should be able to have consent if your face is being used in any sort of biometric data. And when it comes to the dog, well, it's looking at your face and it's not asking you, hey, could you please sign this waiver? You know, it's just doing it. Well, now, a lot of companies have these types of technologies worked in it when it comes to, like, doorbell cameras, like Nest.
Yeah.
But they just disabled the feature for Illinois. You're actually seeing a weird normalization right now in biometrics, because that facial recognition, it's being sold as a, hey, wouldn't it be great to know if your Aunt Judy came to the door or your dog Walker, and we just learned their face. But the side of it that's concerning is you start to see a normalization of it. There's this feeling that it's fine to like take these biometrics without permission or consent, and we need to question, all right, what is being done to regulate that data on the corporation side? Because if you're going through an airport, it's convenient. If you're going to the doorbell, yeah, I want to know when the babysitter's here because I recognize their face. But, you know, will there be more discussion around regulation and what's being done with all that data?
I don't know if I'm shocked, surprised, or proud that Illinois has this big moral compass now,
right,
all of a sudden. Wow, we look good once.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often, so let's cherish this.
There are some states that are getting, like, they're talking about it more, but you guys definitely are doing the most right now.
And happy birthday to Gmail. How old is Gmail, and what changes can we look for?
15 years old.
Wow.
And it actually launched on April 1st back in 2004. So people thought it was a joke because Google only did search back then. But the big shocking part of Gmail is that you got 1 gigabyte of storage. It was like 100 times more than anyone else offered, because I was still on AOL
then.
But yeah, there's a new feature out now. It lets you schedule when you want an email to be sent out. So if you're someone who is up late at night trying to get work done, and you're sending emails out at midnight looking like the weirdo who doesn't sleep, you can at least schedule it to appear in their inbox the next morning and not stress people out with your 2 a.m. emails.
I have never in my life worried about that. I didn't. If I think of something at midnight, I've emailed you.
Yeah.
You're up late.
I'm up very late, and anytime I send an email to anybody, it always comes back, wow, 2:11, what's going on? Why are you still up? So this would be a good thing for me.
Yeah. Although the younger...
I think it's good for bosses to not stress out their underlings.
Oh, maybe.
And for... I have teenage sons who would use this, because a lot of times I'll say, oh, just email your teacher. And he's like, it's, you know, 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. I can't do
it.
I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
But that might
be... Problem solved.
Because it's a courtesy thing now, because we all have the problem of being on our phones too much. Maybe we are doing the other person a service by not bombarding them with something to think about to keep them up longer, you know?
Yeah.
So that's another way to think of it.
True. Yeah.
I never thought of that. I'm like, just email and get it over with. They can look at it in the morning. But good to know. Bridget, thank you so much. You can find her at CNET.com and social media on Twitter at Bridget Carey and Instagram at Bridget Happens. Happy Tech Tuesday.
I talk to you later, guys.
Thanks, Bridget. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, right here on WGN Radio.